carry that kind of weight. It was my tune till I met you.
Let's go.
You're here, and we are so glad that you chose to join us for our resurrection celebration this Easter. There's a couple of things that we want to make sure that you know, especially if you're new here. The first one is in the seat pocket in front of you. You're going to find this connection card. This is a great way for us to get to know you, and maybe a way for you to get to know us a little bit as a church as well. Also, in your seat pocket in front of you, you're going to find this big green card that says, Let's Pray. We want you to know that we are a praying church. We believe wholeheartedly in the power of prayer here at CCW. And if there's anything that you're going through that you need prayer for, we want you to fill one of these out and be confident that there's going to be a team of people praying for you throughout the week. Or maybe it's not like a huge life struggle. Maybe you have a huge praise to report and you want to fill that out on one of these cards. Please do that. Let us know about the great things that are going on in your life so we can celebrate alongside you. And the last thing we want you to know is that we don't pass a plate here at Christian Church in the Wildwood, but every dollar that you give today during this Easter service goes to doing ministry here in Hernando County and all around the world, places like Africa and India, even stateside, like over in Arizona, we have missionaries that we support, and right here in our backyards in Hernando County. So if you brought a gift today, you can put it in one of these envelopes and you can drop it in the offering boxes on your way out the doors of the auditorium, or you can give online at ccw.church/give. The last thing I want you to know is if you have any other questions, anything you need help finding, find somebody with one of these Ask Me lanyards and they'd be more than happy to help you. So enjoy the rest of this service. We're so excited that you're here. Happy Easter.
Welcome, my late risers. Now, I don't know if any of you can relate to this. I'm not much of an alarm person. And so when I set an alarm, what happens, I'll wake up like hours in advance and every half hour after that until it's ready, actually time for me to get up. So I woke up this morning at like 5:15 and I was like, okay, I'm up, I'm ready to go. And I'm like, but since it's so early, I'm just gonna chill out here, lay in bed, I'm gonna pray a little bit. And then the next time I woke up, it was my wife saying, hey, it's 7:50. And I thought she said 7:15. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. That's cool. I got to be here at 8 o'clock. And so I'm laying for like 5 minutes. And she's like, you did hear me say 7:50. 50, right? And I'm like, what? And I, you know, so I'm scrambling at this point to get out of bed, get ready, rush out the door to make sure that I'm here for the first service. Now, I made it, okay? You guys made it too. And whether it's your first time here or it's your 1,000th time here, we are so excited that you chose to celebrate with us today the most important event that has ever taken place in human history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? So welcome. Now, if it is your first time here, we hope it's not your last time here. In fact, we're not beyond bribing you. And so we have In our gym, we have free biscuits and gravy for you afterwards. You can go and have that. Yeah, seriously, go and grab a plate. It's great. And then I have a couple of things I want to invite you to this week as well. This Wednesday, we're going to be starting a class called Building a Better Marriage. Now, listen, you don't have to be married to come to this. You could have been previously married. You could be looking forward towards marriage. You could just be trying to figure things out. But come and hang out with us. Me and my wife have been married for 12 years now, and there's still so much to learn. We can never stop growing. So Building a Better Marriage, that's at 6:30 this Wednesday up in Building B, which is up there on the hill. And then also, if you want to get to know us just a little bit more, we have something called Foundations 1 next Sunday. And Foundations is our family member class. You can come and learn what we believe as a church and how we're going about and doing ministry here. And we get a chance to get to know you a little as well. And just for going to that class, there is an awesome brunch that's a part of that. I mean, like, seriously, biscuits and gravy, great. The last time they were serving like ice cream and cake and good stuff for you too, but I automatically jump straight to the things that'll give me diabetes. So we hope that you join us for that. You can register for either of those events at ccw.church/register, or you can stop by our Next Step station after service and we'll help you get you registered out there. Now, we're going to get back to worshiping Jesus, God, and the Spirit. But first, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you so much that we get to have this relationship with you. We thank you for your sacrifice, the fact that you would come 2,000 years ago and live a human life and die for us. We thank you for the cross, and we thank you for the tomb. But Father, most of all, we thank you for the resurrection, for this promise of new life, for this hope of eternity with you. And so today, we just ask that we get ourselves out of the way and that we celebrate Jesus Christ with all that we are. We praise you, Lord Jesus, and we pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you.
up in this place. Come on. He is worthy. Amen, amen. You can grab a seat.
Hey, good morning. Hey, it's Easter 2022. You know, I am glad to see so many of you here. Most of you I know, some of you I don't know. Those of you that might be watching online, I'm thankful that you're checking us out. We got any first-timers here today? If you're just checking us out for the first time, I'm glad you came to visit. I'm thankful I've got my son and my daughter-in-law here with me today, too. And it's just a great day. It's a happy day. You know, and I'm glad to see so many people tuning in because it's been a tough couple of years, hadn't it? When you look back, and some of you, I don't want to pick at you, but it might be a couple of years since you've been in church, right? You might have an excuse because it's been the pandemic or, you know, maybe you're just one of those people that do the traditional religious thing on Easter and Christmas. You just show up to church because it's your religious duty. But you know, it's okay. I'm glad you came. And this day, Easter, is the best time to come. Yeah, why? Because it represents the most important thing that happened to mankind, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, this is, yeah, clap. That's a reason to applaud. You see, this is what we believe here. It's what I believe, whether you believe it or not. Jesus was born of a virgin. He came to earth. He lived 33 years. He gave up his life, and he rose again. And Easter is the representation that he still lives here today. And it's my hope that many of you believe that. But the true realization is that some of you are still wondering about it. And truthfully, some in here don't believe it at all. Skeptics often say the life of Jesus or this person, it was impossible. It's crazy to think that one person did all of those miracles and he came back from the dead. And you know, no one can prove that Jesus was who he said he was. But my answer to them is nobody can disprove it. He either was who he said he was, or this was the biggest lie and scam in the history of the world. And no one can deny that both biblical and non-biblical history itself documents the reality and the life of Jesus being here on earth. So significant is this documentation that the birth of Jesus is the dividing point of history. Jesus was truly a historical figure, but there's no other person that ever lived that so impacted humanity that they were given the honor of splitting time itself into. This split in time has become recognized as Easter. It's mostly defined by the world as a great religious holiday, and as we tend to do, we fill it up with all kinds of unnecessary things that take away from its true meaning. We come up with stuff like, you know, the Easter bunny and candy and baskets. And when we could afford it, my favorite thing was getting new clothes. Some of y'all have new clothes on today. Yeah, Easter eggs, you know, they were fun to die, they were fun to hide, and they were fun to hunt for. But for me, eggs, I never ate them. You know, I don't care for them a whole lot unless they're chocolate. But, you know, we trivialize Easter when we lump it into the rest of the pile of stuff that makes it just another religious holiday. We promote all kinds of commercialization that point away from Easter's true meaning. But I'm asking you, if you're here today, to think a little bit differently. And I don't want to insult you, but I don't want you to come here and use Easter to fulfill your religious duty. You know, as a matter of fact, I'll be preaching next Sunday, and I don't even want you to come back next Sunday if you're doing it to fulfill a religious duty. Because you see, this is the thing about Easter. There are thousands of religions, but what makes recognizing Jesus different? His death on the cross didn't represent religion. It represented relationship. And if you think about it and you really read the Word of God and what it says, it was religion and religious people that crucified Jesus. It was the church that crucified Jesus in that time. And there wasn't anything fun or cute about the crucifixion. I want you to take a look at this video for a minute.
Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. Then they led him away to crucify him. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. And Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." He breathed his last.
I want you to think about it. religion versus relationship. What do you think I mean by that? Let's take a look at Luke 23:34. As Jesus hung on the cross, among the words he said were this, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Father, forgive who? Forgive the soldiers who were beating on him and cursing him and spitting on him? Or was it, Father, forgive the crowd that just a week before on Palm Sunday, they were raising branches and cheering him on and crying, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And he was a hero, and he went in that 1 week from hero to zero, and now they were saying, "Crucify him." Or maybe he was saying, "Father, forgive the disciples that have been with me and lived with me for the last 3 years, and now when I need them most desperately, they're scared and they ran away and hid." It's a little bit more than that, though. But the divinity of Jesus and who he was, he saw all the history before he came, during the 33 years that he lived, up to and through today, April 17th, 2022. And when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," he was talking about each and every one of us here in the sanctuary. And why did he say, "Forgive them"? It was because of love. This is when true relationship kicked in, and he looked at all of the vile things that we've done, stuff that we've done that people know about, stuff that we've done that people will never know about, most importantly, stuff that we've done to him. And his love for us said, you know what? They can't help themselves. They need to be fixed. Romans 5:8 says this. It says, "But God showed his love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Yeah, he gave us the opportunity to be in a relationship with him. And you know, he wanted us to remember the love he showed for us regularly, and we do this by serving communion. And I'm going to ask the servers right now, I want you all to celebrate this with us. I'm going to ask them to pass out the elements of communion. And if you're not familiar with communion, Jesus set off this mandate to the church, and it was at the Last Supper with his disciples that he asked them to continue this tradition. We do it each week here at Wildwood, and while you're holding on to the bread and juice, and we're holding on for a little while, I want you to think about some of the stuff that we're talking about here, but I want to use this analogy. One of the most popular symbols for Easter is the egg. When I think about the egg, I think about 3-in-1. You got the yolk, you got the white, you got the shell. I think about God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But what I mostly think about is transformation, because you see, the egg is no good to anybody unless it's broken. If you never do anything with an egg, it just sits there and it turns rotten. And a lot of us are like the egg. You know, we look good on the outside. We all cool. We don't want to be shaken up. We don't want anything to change about us. And it's hard for us to be broken. We all need to be transformed. And Jesus set the first example of being broken and being transformed through his obedience. Isaiah 53:5 says this. It says, "He was pierced for our offenses, he was crushed for our wrongdoings. The punishment for our well-being was laid upon him, and by his wounds we heal." See, Jesus, yeah, come on, pass it out. See, Jesus was broken so we could all be fixed. And while he was hanging on the cross, it was at that time that the weight of the world, the weight of all the sins that we had, he felt separation from his Father. And that was part of his humanity. At that time in Mark, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Sometimes we feel like that too. We feel like we're separate from God. But those of us that know and have truly been broken will understand that God never leaves us or forsakes us. In fact, Jesus, when he said this, he was actually quoting Psalms 22, which was a prophetic revelation of what was happening to him during the crucifixion. If you go back, I want you to read that psalm and think about it. He actually, that psalm describes the crucifixion. So for those that knew the Old Testament at that time, he actually was revealing that he was the Christ, the true Messiah. Now, this is my challenge to you. Some of you may know about God or believe in God, or at least in theory. You may think him to be this big, giant man up in heaven looking down on us, waiting to smack us for getting out of line. But for those of us who have truly allowed ourselves to be broken, we know him as a comforter and a friend. And he acts as a master chef who takes our brokenness and rottenness, and he recreates it into a new life in him. And if you look around you, if you look at somebody else, you're going to look at the church and you're going to see not a bunch of people that are all good, but a bunch of broken people that are continuing to be recreated in Christ so that we can go out and witness and make the change that the world needs to see. See, it's not about the bread and the wine. It's about remembering the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's not about the ritual or the tradition. It's about listening to Jesus and truly doing what he says. Now, you have a choice. Each and every one of us has a choice. You continue to live in doubt. You can stay in your shell and resist the change and try to fix things on your own. Or you can make a choice to choose even this day. And some of you have made that choice. But if you haven't, you can choose on this day, this Easter day, to serve a God who already fixed everything for us. But remember this. Whatever choice you make, it's the cross. It's the cross that has the final word.
As the final word, the cross has the final word. The sorrow may come, the darkest night. The cross has the final word.
Mark chapter 15, verse 33 through 39. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders hearing it said, Behold, he is calling Elijah. And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion, who stood facing him, saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, Truly, this man was the Son of God. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?
As we hold the bread and the juice together today, I don't think there's a better way for us to meditate and reflect the love Jesus had for us than to remember that prayer that Jesus made for us. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus, God's one and only Son, gave his body and his blood for us. He suffered, was crucified, and forsaken on a cross so that we could be forgiven of all of our sins. So we remember. We do this in remembrance of him. The Lord's Supper is also a time to remember the church, the body of Christ. Here in this room, as we look around and share this family time together around his table, but also as we think about our brothers and sisters around the world, those who also today may be suffering, dying, and feel forsaken for their faith in Jesus. So as we remember Jesus, let's remember them in prayer as well. And for each of us, communion is a time to remember and to devote our own bodies, our own blood, to Jesus. Every single part of us, no matter the cost, no matter the situation, from the inside out, from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. As we remember Jesus' body, we give our bodies back to him in service. As he gave his blood for our forgiveness, may every part of our bodies, every part of our being reflect that forgiveness as we forgive others. As we forgive ourselves. For we are not forsaken. We are all yours, Lord, inside and out. Our heart, our mind, our bodies, and our souls. So together as a family, let's share in the body of Christ together. We do this in remembrance of him. And the juice that reminds us of his blood shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Do this in remembrance of him. And now let's stand together as a family and just remember the cross and what he did for us. It is the final word. And we stand together and we sing and celebrate who you are and what you mean to us, Lord Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, you can be seated. There was one final prayer of Jesus. from the cross. It's found in Luke chapter 23, verses 44 through 47. Luke records it like this. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. And when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, "Certainly, this man was innocent. My God, why have you forsaken me? Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Words, prayers, straight from the Psalms. In fact, this prayer, right out of Psalm 31, verse 4, it shows us the commitment that Jesus had to each and every one of us, and more importantly, his commitment that he had to the will of his Father, no matter the cost. That cost included the cross. You see, Jesus was committed. He was committed to what had to happen, trusting God for what was about to happen, and it really happened. It happened. Jesus, the Son of God, was crucified. He died for us. It's so important to know this and to remember this, because Jesus did not skip the pain. He didn't skip the pain. And the truth is, if we think about it honestly, most of us in our walk with Jesus, we want to skip the pain, don't we? Man, we want to think about all the happy, smiley days as we follow Jesus, you know, the butterflies and the rainbows and all the blessings and the health and the wealth. You know, we don't want to go through those dark times, those troubled times. We want to skip right to the resurrection, right to the victories. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Listen, don't miss this. Hear Jesus, see Jesus, this prayer from the cross, because it is here, into his Father's hands, he surrenders his spirit and dies. But then, and I can't help but smiling, y'all, because then, next stop, beep, beep, next stop, y'all, resurrection. The next stop was that he would rise from the grave. But the truth is, there is no resurrection without crucifixion. There's no resurrection without crucifixion. But like Jesus, if we look at his example and we see how he prayed, we understand that we can commit our spirits just like he did to our Father. We can commit our lives into the hands of our Father by trusting our Father through his Son in life and in death, in pain and for the victory, in the dark times and in the good times. You see, we have to understand today that pain and darkness and death are part of God's plan. But make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. The master plan of God, the grand plan of God, is victory over death. It's because of the resurrection of Jesus, we can look at death, stare it right in the face, and say, "Not for long. Not for long." You see, in Christ, because of Christ, those who follow Christ can say, "Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, no, not for long." Say that with me, not for long. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what you're coming through. I don't know what kind of suffering and pain and crucifixion maybe you're going through in your life. But in Jesus Christ, we have the promise of the resurrection. It is not for long. Yes, Jesus went through the crucifixion and he died for us. And his prayer, "Into your hands I commit my spirit," was one of confidence. It was one of hope. That was a not for long prayer that Jesus prayed. That prayer was a prayer of victory. A prayer of victory of what was about to happen. A prayer of victory over death forever and ever and ever. It's a victory that history is still talking about 2,000 years later. Jesus' trust, his commitment became history changing, life changing, a reality for you and for me. I am living proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And some of you will stand and say the same thing. Jesus still changes lives today by the power of his resurrection. After 3 days in the grave, death could not hold him. And death will not hold us who follow Jesus. Jesus came back to life. Resurrected. He is risen. He is alive. Luke would write in the very next chapter, chapter 24, verse 24, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they entered the tomb, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't there. And while they're wondering about this, suddenly two men, clothes gleam like lightning, stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bow down and their faces are to the ground. And the men say to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Like, why are you looking for a living person in the graveyard? He is not here. He is, help me out, risen. Man, he is risen. He is alive. Remember, this is exactly what I told you was going to happen. He told you it was going to happen back in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinners, crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Isn't it interesting that Jesus committed his body into the hand of sinners to be crucified before he committed his spirit into the hands of the Father on the cross? That's the good news. That's the great news. We stand on the other side of the cross and on the other side of the empty tomb, and we understand, as we look back, we understand the life that Jesus has given us, that he came from heaven to earth. He put on flesh for you and for me, that Jesus came and died on a cross for the forgiveness of our sins, for yours and for mine, that Jesus Christ rose again after 3 days from the grave for you and for me. That's the great news. Why? So that we can live, so that we can have life. He rose again so we can rise again. Resurrection life. New life. Eternal life. Maybe you've heard John 3:16, where God says he loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but will have eternal life. He came to give us life. God gave his son so that we could have life. Jesus gave his life so that we could have life. The truth is today, you can refuse to believe that. You know, I hope not. Or you can choose to ignore this. Some of us choose to believe it, but then live our lives in a way that it really doesn't matter. Or today we can allow the prayer of Jesus on the cross to become a living reality in our everyday life. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Me. You, the one sitting in your chair, I commit to you. You died for me so that I can live for you. That's what this is all about. The life Jesus gives to us, that you might say, I will empty myself. I will die to myself. I will carry my cross no matter the cost and follow him as Lord. And understand the truth that if we follow Jesus here on earth, that we will follow him into heaven for all of eternity. The same power that raised Jesus from the grave, Ephesians says, lives in us. So today, we can begin by the power of the resurrection to live like him like never before, individually, as a church, as a community, to live for Jesus, to commit our lives to him, to commit our spirits, our bodies, our spirits, everything that we are back to him. Once and for all and forever. I hope that'll be your next step today. I hope that you will commit your life to Jesus like never before because of what he did for you. Or maybe today you've never made that decision. It's something you've been thinking about or have come to understand maybe for the first time. Look, we need to understand today that the cross was not the beginning or not the end. The cross was not the end. We need to understand that it wasn't even the empty tomb that was the end of the story. But no, the end of the story is really the beginning of our story when we begin to understand the cross and on the other side of the empty tomb to give our lives back to Jesus in a way that the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus matters to us and matters to the world around us. That's what this baptistry is all about, so that we can commit our lives to Jesus. We can be buried with Jesus, Romans says, be buried in his blood and rise again to new life in Christ once and for all and forever. Maybe today that's the decision that you want to make today. Our prayer team will be up front. Our elders, our leaders will be here to help you out. You can go in the gym, visit maybe the person that invited you today. If you're watching online, let somebody know that's the decision that you want to make, to give your life to Jesus. And for the rest of us here who have given our life to Christ, I hope that right now, starting this moment, that we will leave this place ready to live our lives for the one who gave his life for us like never before. As we reach into our community, as we spread his love around the world, starting in our own homes, in our own marriages, in our own families, would we today, as the body of Christ, stand together in the unity of the resurrection of our Savior and live in that unity together? Would you go ahead and stand with me? We're going to sing, we're going to celebrate, and make this song the words of our prayer. We know that there is a sign and a wonder waiting to happen in our life by the power of the resurrection in us. Maybe today you say that because, man, you came in here limping in, maybe in your marriage, maybe in your life, maybe in your job, maybe finally, I don't know what it might be, but I promise you that the same power that rose Jesus from the grave is ready to do a great work in your life when you commit your life to him. Don't let that opportunity slip by. Oh, death, where is your sting? There's no sting. Each and every one of us can come alive and live for Jesus. Father, we love you. God, what we see, what we hear is the truth. And God, I pray that we would bring that truth into our lives, into our hearts, into our spirits. God, that you would pour it upon us and live through us as we commit our lives, our spirits to you, Heavenly Father, just like Jesus did. We love you. We thank you for the resurrection. We thank you for the celebration that we can have because of what you did for us. So right now, with all of our voices, with our hands, with our spirits, God, we lift them up to you, and we give you praise in Jesus' name, amen.
I don't want to leave. I want to stay here. Oh, man. Praise the Lord. So glad y'all came out today to be a part of our family. Hopefully, we can become part of yours, too, if it's your first time here. Don't leave so quick. Go on into the gym. We've got biscuits and gravy and time together. Meet somebody in the hallway. Come back next Sunday. Anything we can do to help serve you and your family. Thank you for being here this morning. Praise God. Have a great, great Easter. We love you.